Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, at your bidding, we have come into your house to pray and to hear your saving word, that we may obtain instruction, consolation, and refreshment for our souls. Therefore, we humbly implore you to open our mouth, ears, heart, and mind by your Holy Spirit, that we may rightly learn your holy word, and with hearty desire, eagerness, and devotion, attend to it, and from it learn to know you, that in the midst of all trials and needs, we may have your comfort, mercy, and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I don't normally do this, but I figured it's right here in the church, so I might as well. This hangs in my office in the corner. And at the top of it, it reads, Diploma of Vocation. And in the body of this document, it says this. To David M. Dunlop, having called on the Lord our God for guidance and in the exercise of the authority which he has vested in his church on earth, we, the members of Christ and Zion Lutheran Churches of Clinton and Chestnut, Illinois, have elected you to the office of pastor. You. And not as individuals, because I know some of you were not here for that particular time, but as a congregation, you have elected me to be your pastor. And to this day, this still stands. I am the pastor of both Christ Lutheran in Clinton and you here, of course, Zion Lutheran in Chestnut. And on July 13th, 2014, I was ordained and installed to serve this role. This is the relationship that is in the heart of Ezekiel chapter 34. But before we talk about what Ezekiel 34 is about in our own context in 2022, let's back up a little bit. Okay? Ezekiel 34 is literally a turning point in the book of Ezekiel. So far, most of the book has been a lot of doom and gloom. Ezekiel is a prophet who is experiencing exile in Babylon. He has literally been carried off to another country. And God's proclamation against Israel is that he is tired of their hard hearts. God is not pleased. And so what he does is he removes his presence from his people. He removes his protection from his people. He removes his blessings from his people. And it all comes to a climax in chapter 33, which is right before our text for today, when Ezekiel, who has been in exile for 12 whole years, receives a report. Jerusalem has been destroyed, and the temple is no more. Now, for us in our own time, no big deal, right? We blew up a building or something, right? Which, honestly, on today like today, kind of hits home. But truth be told, this building, this temple, that town of Jerusalem, it was literally the symbol of God's presence amongst his people. So long as the temple stood, the people of Israel had hope that God would deliver them. And now it's gone. Now it's gone. And the people of Israel, of course, would be devastated by this, because God had rendered judgment against his own people. How'd the people of Israel get like this to begin with? That part's pretty simple. Bad shepherds. The spiritual leaders and the kings, they were corrupt. They didn't care about glorifying God's name. They didn't care to follow God's commandments. And so the people get led astray by their leaders. Yet, while God gave them what their unfaithfulness deserved. I mean, you want to go after these false leaders? You want to go after these people who are leading you away from me? Well, guess what? That ends in exile. That ends in destruction of the one thing that would offer you hope. And so since they've literally been brought pretty much as low as they could possibly get, this is when Ezekiel speaks to them in chapter 24. And really, like, the tables turn. Before it's judgment, now he's going to talk about hope and comfort. And so he says this. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will rescue them. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. God has had enough of these poor shepherds, and so he makes a promise that he himself will come down from heaven to shepherd his people. And do you know how you say shepherd in Latin? Pastor. Now, I am not the pastor. I am not the shepherd, or as John's gospel tells us, the good shepherd. No, the prophet Ezekiel is not talking about me as pastor. He's speaking about God. He's talking about what God is going to do in his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, he comes down out of heaven to do what? To feed and to pasture his sheep, to lead them into the way of everlasting life. Jesus is the one who seeks, who rescues, who gathers, who binds up and strengthens. And of course, Israel of old are his sheep, but truth be told, you are his sheep. You are God's sheep, and he is your good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And of course, then we see what Jesus does for us in laying down his life on the cross, and shedding his blood and breathing his last, and he protects you from that which would scatter you. Sin, the world, Satan. They don't want you to gather as the church. They don't want you to gather around the good shepherd. They want you to be scattered all over the place. And so Jesus comes as the shepherd who gathers his people, gathers them by the proclamation of the gospel. And of course, Jesus didn't just die for us. I mean, we all know a good shepherd cannot be a dead shepherd, because a dead shepherd cannot protect his sheep any longer. And so thanks be to God that God raises his son from the dead. That way Jesus can continually guide and protect you, his sheep, his flock, his church. He is the one of whom God spoke. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. And that just happens to be coincidence. My name is David. It's not me, right? This is talking about Jesus, right? The Davidic line that is going to continue, right? Jesus is the servant David who guides the sheep. But I joke, right? I'm not the good shepherd. We all know that. But I am still a shepherd. I am still a pastor. I am a minor shepherd under the good shepherd, or as some people say, an under shepherd. And through your call, God has appointed me to the office of pastor, to lead you, his people. And so what is it that a minor shepherd is called to do? It's to lead you to live a godly life. It's to lead you to believe in Jesus Christ. And a good shepherd glorifies God's name above all else. A good shepherd leads by Jesus' command. And so when I say I'm a shepherd, when I say I'm a pastor, it's not a means to lord anything over you. It is simply a description of what I am called to do for you, how I am called to be your servant. Which brings us back to this. You know, this is all printed on nice paper and stuff, but there's actually a supplement to this where it kind of continues, and I have it on the back of here. But I'm going to read something else for you here from this Diploma of Vocation. And it reads like this. In the name of the Triune God and by his authority, in order that we might carry out his mission to the world, we hereby authorize and obligate you, obligate, you hear that, obligate, I'm under obligation, to administer to us the word of God in its truth and purity as contained in the sacred scriptures, and to administer the holy sacraments in accordance with their divine institution. Word and sacrament. And there's a lot more on here too. But this is primarily, these are literally the first two things on here. These are primarily the things that you have called me to do. is to teach you God's word and to make sure that you remain in the faith by remembering that you are baptized and by receiving the supper on a regular basis. And in fact, if we really want to go down to the bottom, you all kind of obligated yourself to receive me as Christ's servant, to make faithful use of the sacraments, and to work with me, that way you might be equipped to glorify God's name also. And also there's more. But this is what a minor shepherd is called to do. It's to lead you, the sheep, according to the good shepherd's word. To preach about Jesus and his truth and purity. And sometimes when you stumble into sin, I am called to call you out. To tell you that that's not a good thing. That you should leave your sin behind and repent and receive the forgiveness that Christ has won for you through his death and resurrection. And from that point on, we are called to come together and to live righteous lives together. But you know what? You're not always going to do that. Because sheep are prone to wander. And you know what? I'm not always going to do that. Because sometimes I'm a bad shepherd too. Paul said he was the foremost of sinners. And you know what? I can relate. Because I am not the good shepherd. I'm simply a minor shepherd. But I'm still a sinner. And so this is why forgiveness needs to reign not only from the shepherd to his sheep. In the stead of Christ, you are forgiven. But the sheep towards their shepherd. Because when Jesus reigns in our lives, we continue on in reconciliation and righteousness into all eternity. And so you can expect I will preach the word even when it hurts. You should also expect that your minor shepherd will administer baptism. Not because it's some sort of commitment or command or obligation, although it is those things. But it's because the sheep need water. The water of life. We need water to live and to live for all eternity. And this is what baptism promises. If you receive the waters of baptism, you are connected with Jesus Christ for all eternity. The heavens have been opened. You are God's child. You are now part of God's flock. And so when the opportunities arise, certainly I will baptize any confessing Christian. Thanks be to God. The Good Shepherd also declares that you should be fed and not with grass in some pasture. But Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood." And again, it's not some sort of obligation or sign of devotion. But Jesus promises that by this holy meal, you have forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is also life and salvation. It's the medicine of immortality that is on the altar. It's what strengthens our faith and keeps us with Jesus Christ Sunday in and Sunday out. This is what the church is about. This is what worship is all about. And honestly, I didn't appoint me. You appointed me to do this. This is what you called me to do, because Jesus gave you the authority. He established this office of pastor. You may remember in John chapter 20, after Jesus comes back to life, he's in the upper room with his disciples, who were the first pastors. And he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you are forgiven, you forgive, they are forgiven them. And whichever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." And thereby, Jesus starts to establish this office of forgiveness and preaching the word. And then it goes on, right? A few days, weeks later, who knows. But they're on this fishing trip, all the disciples. They're waiting for Jesus back in Galilee. And Jesus appears on the shore, and they have breakfast together. And after this breakfast, Jesus comes, and he brings Peter alongside him. And three times he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter, of course, answers, "Yes, you know I love you, Lord." And then Jesus tells him three times, "Feed my sheep." Because God knew that he would one day ascend into heaven, and it was only a short time after that conversation, and that there would need to be under-shepherds, that there would need to be minor shepherds across history to lead his people in godly lives and in the forgiveness that Jesus has won for us through his death and resurrection. And so this is why we gather. This is why the Holy Spirit has called you into God's church today. Because you need to be rescued from sin. You need to be fed with what Jesus gives. You need to be bound up and strengthened. You need to be forgiven. So you are. In the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are redeemed. You who once were lost and scattered have now been found by your Savior. My friends, we're living in times that are not unlike that of Ezekiel. It seems as if we're constantly in danger of being led astray by our world, by all manner of things that exist in it. And Satan is always trying to scatter you, the sheep of God. Therefore, we ought to avoid bad shepherds, those who might lead us into exile away from God's word and instead be gathered to the good shepherd by what he has told us to do and by what he has promised for us in his word and in his sacraments. And so today and always, let us cling to what he has done for us through his death and his resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.